This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
My name is Kevin.
And I'm Oslam, and on Pets Allowed today we talk cats.
Now last week we spoke about responsible pet ownership and dogs, so this week we're going to shift our focus to our feline friends. Now cats are a bit of a unique bunch. I don't happen to own one because I am a dog person. Now I do believe, Oslo, you are a bit of a dog and a cat person. What is it about cats?
I actually grew up with pet dogs and cats, so I was exposed to both of them. And I think I have a really soft spot for cats because they're quite individuals, and they have so many endearing features that we'll be talking about throughout the program today. But even just walking around the office today, I got a bit of a consensus that particularly in the fundraising department, a fair few of the ladies there love their feline friends.
They certainly do. I think most of them have a cat, and all from the Lost Dogs Home.
I hear one actually adopted one earlier this week, wasn't it, from our Echuca shelter as well? Drove all the way to Echuca.
Yeah, absolutely. She rang up on Friday and was in the car on Saturday morning and home again with a very gorgeous ginger kitten.
So earlier this week, we put the call out on our social media to get your ideas on what the most inexpensive cat toy is for your cat. If you have any ideas, SMS us 0427JOY949, email on air at joy.org.au or give us a call 1300JOY949.
Pets Allowed. Have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
So also coming up on Pets Allowed today,
our resident vet Dr. Alan Bolton will tackle your curly questions.
We preview upcoming dog-friendly events in Dog Dates.
And at the tail end of the program, we draw the curtains up for one of our pet of the week, basically.
Which is, so, we're looking at a cat this week, I believe.
Yes, we are. We have quite a few cats at the home at the moment, so we obviously want to raise the profile of cats a little bit more, and we'll be featuring a very, very beautiful cat at the tail end of the program.
Excellent. Coming up next, we'll bring you up to speed on the news of this week with the Lost Dogs Home News Wrap. Don't forget, we are podcasting the show, and podcasts of our previous episodes are available online. Check out our program page at joy.org.au.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. The Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
It is time for the Pets Allowed News Wrap. It's time to recap the events of last week. In here in the studio is Kate Holter, General Manager of Communications and Fundraising for the Lost Dogs Home. And I believe we have a couple of post-adoption success stories, maybe.
Yeah, well, actually, we heard from the Ryan family who adopted Max a little while ago. Max is a Border Collie cross-Kelpie mix. So you can imagine quite an active and very smart dog.
Oh, yeah.
I have a Border Collie in there. Yeah, and especially crossed with a Kelpie, you're getting two working dogs, and yeah, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
And his name is Max, but not after Maxwell Smart. He's actually not an accidental hero. He's quite an intelligent dog. And the Ryan family just got in contact with us, sent us some really, really gorgeous pictures of Max. So if you'd like to check it out, jump onto our website. We have the story up there for you to read.
Now, I believe Percy, who we talked about last week, might have found a new home, and also Fruin, who we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
Mm. Well, Percy, we spoke about last week. Percy is a kitten that arrived at the home in quite a state. He had a broken leg, clipped ear and tail, and he was actually adopted on Tuesday, this Tuesday.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, and to a lovely owner, I heard as well. They're really going to give him a beautiful home.
Yep. So we're really excited about that, and hopefully we'll hear from them. Like most of the adoptees, they tend to keep in touch with
them. They do. Yeah, I just got an email yesterday from a fantastic with the fantastic photos attached. So
yeah. Okay, I'm beautiful.
Yep. And did we have an update on little Fruin that we talked about, the poodle cross?
Yes, he's been adopted as well. And he apparently, Fruin was, quite a few people went and met Fruin, but he chose this particular family. He went up to them, and he's actually quite a shy dog, but for some reason he felt really comfortable with these people, and he sort of sought their company out. So from all reports, he's going really, really well and is settling in his new home.
That's right. Yeah, he was. He arrived at the Echuca shelter also in a bit of a neglected state. He had an overgrown coat, and he appeared to have trouble getting along with humans. He seemed a bit, traumatised.
Yeah.
But yeah, his new owners have been doing a lot of obedience training, spending a lot of time socialising him with humans and other animals as well.
It's interesting to see when dogs actually do choose their own owners as well. Like a lot of dogs at the shelter that are afraid and that sort of thing will actually choose their own. Yeah.
Yeah, they just seem to sort of, I guess, have a sense about people, especially, I guess, those ones that might have been neglected or under-socialised.
And do we have a quick roundup of the National Pet Register events from last week?
Yes, last Saturday at the Casey City Council Companion Animal Microchipping Day, 20 dogs were microchipped, 6 cats were also microchipped. Chipped and 26 free ID tags were given out. So this was a National Pet Register day where people had access to do that.
Excellent. So coming up next, we'll be discussing ways you can be the best possible owner for your pet cat. For more Lost Dogs Home news, you can check out dogshome.com. We also want to know, we're asking the question, what are your cat's favourite inexpensive toys? You can SMS us 0427-JOY-949, email onair@joy.org.au or give us a call 1300-JOY-949.
Pets Allowed. Get social. See joy.org.au/petsallowed to follow us and chat all week long.
One of our key messages at the Lost Dogs Home is responsible pet ownership. While we will be covering some aspects of being the best cat owner you can, today on today's program, we won't attempt to cover all of them. They'll no doubt come out throughout the show over the coming weeks.
That's right. And just a reminder, you are on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. I should have said that before, but it's all right.
That's all right. We're shaking it up a little.
That's right. Today, we are joined by resident vet Dr. Alan Bolton and General Manager of Communications and Fundraising at the Lost Dogs Home, Kate Holter. Now, we wanted to bring our often underappreciated feline friends, the domestic cat, into the spotlight. Now, guys, what are some of the reasons why cats are actually underappreciated?
I think cats just don't enjoy the same status as dogs because, and perhaps the level of responsible pet ownership is because, unlike dogs, they can actually polarise people and how they view them. Most people like dogs. I guess we all love them. And if you don't love them, then you probably tolerate them. But with cats, there are some people out there that really dislike them intently. So I think that's got a lot to do with it. Also, it's only relatively recently that cats have been considered companion animals and, like dogs, been included in legislation, which is the Victorian Companion Nuisance and Feral Animals Act in 1994, which is the first piece of legislation statewide that makes cat registration compulsory. Well, it was back then.
I think for a long time as well, until recently, people kept cats as outdoor animals. So they lived in the shed and they pretty much fed themselves or they ate scraps and they caught rice and mice and rats. So people didn't really look at them as an indoor pet.
That's right. And I think a lot of people come by cats as well. You know, someone moves out, they don't want to take their cat, so you take that cat on, or your neighbour has a litter of kittens and you take one of those kittens. Whereas dogs, you sort of actively go out and I'm going to get a dog. And then I think people spend less money on them. So they're less likely to microchip them, less likely to sex them than if they'd gone out and actively got that pet.
I think it's all sort of comes down to perhaps that cats are just that little bit more independent than dogs and are better at looking after themselves.
Yeah.
But that causes its own problems.
Yeah, there is that saying as well that, you know, cats back in Egyptian times were worshipped as gods and they've never actually forgotten that. So, I mean, that's probably why they're sort of a bit more independent than
Superior. They consider themselves superior, I think.
Yes, that's right. And how did cats actually get to Australia?
No one actually really knows when cats first arrived in Australia. They were certainly here before European settlement. Some people think that perhaps they escaped from shipwrecks off the coast of West Australia with Dutch explorers, or possibly that Indonesian fishermen brought them down to the Northern Territory. In the first, there's a list of animals who came on the first fleet, and certainly there are a number of kittens mentioned there, and also Reverend Johnson, who was the chaplain of the first fleet, he brought his own pet cats, so they were the first pet cats to arrive in Australia.
So cats have been around in Australia for quite some time then?
And it seems not just as by accidental, but as pets as well.
Yeah.
Pets Pets Allowed. SMS 0427 Joy 949. Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Now, every year at the Lost Dogs Home in our North Melbourne shelter, we receive about 25,000 animals through our doors. Now, just under half of that are actually cats. So, Kate, when did we actually start taking in cats and why?
We first started taking in cats in 1986 when Dr. Graham Smith came on board as the managing director. Graham came from the RSPCA. He was setting up the vet clinic there, and he certainly understood from there that the need to care for cats at the Lost Dogs Home. So we established the Western Suburbs Cat Shelter along with Cat Protection Society, and then later now it's just the Lost Dogs Home's cat shelter. And we get currently equivalent number of cats, just under the equivalent number of cats at the Lost Dogs Home as we do dogs. So there certainly is a big part of what we do, caring for cats now.
And how do they generally come to the home?
Most cats come in as strays. People can bring them in themselves if they've found a cat. We provide animal management services or pound services for many local councils, so they come in that way. We also do provide some trapping for councils. People can request that we trap a cat on there for them if it's a nuisance or perhaps a wild cat in that area. And people also surrender their cats for some reason. They can no longer keep them, and sometimes that's a genuine reason. They're moving overseas and they need to find another home for that cat.
Now, we get quite a few kittens as well, which are adopted out through our satellite adoption program. Alan, cats are often said to be seasonal breeders, like there's a kitten season. Is that still the case?
That's true. I mean, some cats, a small proportion of cats will breed all year round, but most cats breed in spring and summer. So as a result, that's when we tend to have most kittens. We're not quite filling up yet, but we're starting to see the first ones come through. And once they start, then they come thick and fast.
That's right. And we do often see a lot of mature age cats that sort of sit there because everyone does want kittens. We have plenty of them, and we do have plenty of them at the moment as well. So, we'd say if you are looking to adopt a cat, please come down and check them out. We have quite a few that are looking for loving homes.
Yeah, this weekend will be a great opportunity to come in and adopt a cat.
Now, cats can have some pretty, health-related issues. What kind of things do we see, Alan, when they come into the home? What kind of health problems do we often get?
We get lots of cats with cat flu, which is a whole range of diseases caused by a number of viruses. So they get mouth ulcers, they get weepy eyes, they get runny noses, just like with people. FIV, which is also known as feline AIDS, can be a problem, especially in entire male cats. Because of the cat's lifestyle, we see quite a lot of cats coming in with some sort of trauma. So they may have been hit by a car. And because cats are very territorial animals, they fight. So we get lots of abscesses and that sort of infection.
So in terms of something like cat flu, what are some of the things that we've done at the shelter to reduce those risks?
Well, 2 years ago, we built a new cat shelter at the Lost Dogs Home with the support of our donors. That opened at Christmas time in the heart of kitten season and where we had lots of cats coming in. Now, the cat shelter has cat condos in it, and that's a state-of-the-art accommodation for cats in a shelter. Each condo is individually ventilated, which means cats that have cat flu, as Alan spoke about, aren't sharing that virus with other cats in the shelter. It's an airborne virus, so they only have to sneeze and they can infect a whole room with that flu. Also, the shelter is separate from the rest of the Lost Dogs Home, so the cats are away from the barking of the dogs. It's a really quiet environment, and you actually go in there and you can sort of feel that it's a peaceful, much more peaceful for the cats.
Okay, so we're going to come back and we're going to talk a bit more about cats and about their basic needs and how we can look at looking after a cat. You're with The Lost Dogs Home with Pets Allowed.
Contact us, lostdogshome@joy.org.au. Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
This is Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. My name is Oslam and I'm joined in the studio by Kev, Kate and Alan. We're talking all things feline related. The needs for cats can vary from basic to more complex. So now we're going to look at the basics first, I think.
Yeah, well, obviously talking about cats is quite a big topic that we could talk about a lot about different things. So, we can't cover everything, obviously. If you want some more information about cats, then go to our website, dogshome.com. We've got heaps of information there about how to look after your cat and the things to think about before getting a cat as well. Now, Kate, you have one cat at the moment, I believe.
Yes, I have an Abyssinian cat called Maverick.
Oh, lovely. And I don't know much about cat breeds, so it sounds awesome.
Exotic, yeah.
Yeah. So what are some of the basic care? Does he require his own personal space, or does he like sleeping on your pillow every night? Or
yes, he actually does. No, he likes to have his own spot. I think that all cats need to have a spot that they call their own, although they will sleep, I think, around the house. Generally, that you'll find them in the warmest spot in the house. So if the sunlight comes in the afternoon or the morning, they'll be curled up in an area in that sunlight where it's nice and warm, or on the heating ducts of your central heating is quite common. Also, they like to get high, I think, also to look down upon everybody, but it's usually warmer up there as well.
Yeah, look, I have noticed that as well. I have a friend who has a cat, and when they had a mattress pushed up against their wall, the cat would actually sit up the top of the mattress and sort of stare down everyone. And I think there was a quote by Casey Buffington who said, "The reason cats climb is so that they can look down on almost every other animal. It's also the reason they hate birds, because yeah. they can't get higher than them." Now, yeah, I was going to say, Oz?
Well, actually, one of my cats liked to sort of rest up high as well. Back in the day when we had VCRs, it would love to sit on top of the VCR, which was warm throughout the day.
Yes.
And he just really enjoyed that spot. He also had a very interesting diet. He only liked no-frills food. So it was just really interesting, and he'd only have it on white paper. But, Alan, what are the dietary recommendations for cats?
Cats are unusual in that they're obligate carnivores, which means they have to eat meat. So you need to feed them a good quality dry food, which is mainly from a meat source, perhaps some raw chicken wings and meat strips, just to keep their teeth clean. Lots of people think that cats like milk and need milk, but actually adult cats can't really digest milk. It often upsets their stomach, so it's probably not such a good idea.
Now, cats can be quite independent, but I've also, when I've lived with cats, I've also had they try and jump on you and they want cuddles and pets. Is affection quite something that they need? Like, do they need that emotional affection like dogs do? They want pats, they want cuddles.
Yeah, I think absolutely, it's really, really important. I think people sometimes get cats because they think it's going to be perhaps an easier pet. It won't require the attention and time that a dog does. But they really do like affection, and they do like you to be around as well. So, you know, my cat, Mav, he's absolutely excited to see me at the end of the day. And, you know, he's rubbing in and out of between my legs and things. He loves a pat. He'll come and sit on my lap as soon as I sit down for a pat. So it's really, really important.
And another important aspect is the kitty litter as well. Choosing the right kitty litter for your cats. There's all sorts, Alan.
That's right. It's a really good idea to keep your cat inside at least overnight, just because they don't get injured. But the rules generally are you need one litter tray per cat, plus one if you've got space, just because they don't really like sharing them. You need to clean them regularly, and there are all sorts of different types of litter, and some cats like some litter and they don't like others, so they can be pretty choosy that way.
Now, there are actually some, you know, talking about cleaning, how often do you need to clean litter trays?
I reckon you certainly need to clean them every day, basically. You can leave some of the litter behind, but you need to take all the solid stuff out.
Have you seen that there's actually some litter trays you can get that are self-cleaning, sort of robotic?
I have, and I think if I was a cat, I would find them pretty scary.
Yeah, look, I think it would be pretty scary for a little robot to come near you to try and clean up your litter tray. But I did see one of them that had sort of a little place where they could wipe their paws, so that would be pretty pawsome.
And I guess if you started as a kitten, you know, if they got to see them as a baby, they'd get used to them, and I'm sure it'd be fine.
For more information on responsible pet ownership of cats, please check out our website, dogshome.com. You're on Pets Allowed with The Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Missed your favourite segment on Pets Allowed or want to hear an interview again? Head to joy.org.au/petsallowed to subscribe to our free podcast.
Now, right now, we are talking all things cat. We're going to look at some of the things that we can do to be a responsible cat owner. Now, one of the important things about when you're thinking about getting a pet is doing some research. So I kind of know there's different kinds of breeds. You said you had an Abyssinian, I believe, Kate?
That's correct, Kevin.
Okay. So what kinds of things should we look at when we're looking at breeds of cats?
Oh, well, we can. I think for the Lost Dogs Home, we don't want people to forget the dear old Moggy. Most of the cats that we adopt out at the Lost Dogs Home are domestic cats, domestic short hair, medium hair cats, and they come in a range of different personalities. And most of the staff there could talk you through that.
We do get some purebred cats, not very many. Purebred cats tend to have very specific personalities. So I used to have three Orientals, and that was a really, really noisy household. They're quite demanding. Things like British Shorthairs tend to be much more laid back and lazy.
And I think that's kind of like meeting cats is that's kind of the beauty, because the more time you spend with them, the more you understand their character. And no matter what breed they are, it's quite there's still certain components that are quite unique to them.
That's right. They can be they're real individuals, and some of them can be quite quirky as well. I love cats.
Yeah.
Now I have sorry, I was just going to say I have two dogs and they keep each other company. Do you kind of have the same thing with two cats?
Not generally. Cats are quite solitary animals, so it's probably better just to have one cat. Often you find that if you've got two cats living in the same household, they kind of learn to tolerate each other, but they're not really friendly. So they find their own paths around the house so that they kind of don't have to interact too much with each other. I mean, they can get on, and often if you get two kittens together, they will keep each other company and be friends, but generally they're better left alone.
Another component is looking at taking ownership. I know, you know, where I live in a court, there's, you know, a couple of cats that roam between houses, and that's not a good thing, is it, Kate?
No, not. Oh, well, not. It's quite common that cats will roam between houses, especially if they're living in that area. But sometimes people sort of feed what you call a semi-owned or semi-wild cat, and they think they're doing the right thing by feeding that cat and giving it nourishment. But particularly if it's under-sexed, then actually they're just keeping it in a healthy state so it can continue breeding. Also, the cat actually may be owned by someone. So the best thing you can do if you see a cat wandering in your area is to contact your local council and get that cat collected, because it might have a microchip and there may be someone who's actually missing it.
Mm-hmm. Another point in terms of councils is to also think about your cat and wildlife too, Alan.
That's right. I mean, most councils have curfews, so they say you have to keep your cat indoors overnight. And that stops the cat getting injured as well. So the other thing on that is that if you had a cat run, it means your cat can go outside without getting into trouble.
What about cat fights? Do they generally happen at night or during the day? And
they can happen any time. And the most important thing about cat fights is just to remember to de-sex your cat and keep it indoors at night, and that way it shouldn't get into trouble.
And obviously something like microchipping is pretty important.
Absolutely. Fundamental for all responsible pet owners is that you make sure that your pet, including cats, is microchipped. Also, where you can put a tag, if your cat will allow it to wear a collar, then put a collar on it and have a tag on the collar as well, and make sure you keep your contact details up to date.
So that wraps up our discussion on how to be the best cat owner you possibly can. If you'd like any more information about owning a cat, or maybe you're ready to adopt one, take a look at our website, dogshome.com. Coming up, Alan and I will be answering those curly kitten questions in our Q&A.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
You are on Pets Allowed. We are currently in our Q&A section with resident Joy Vet, Dr. Alan Bolton. I've now officially dubbed you the Joy Vet, just so you know. Each week, we will answer those tricky questions you have about your pets. We may not get to them right away, but we will answer them on air in the coming weeks.
Contact us, lostdogshome@joy.org.au.
Now, Anna Murphy from Friday Breakfast, Murphy's Law, she asked the question, how can she stop her 8-month-old British Shorthair cat from waking her up in the middle of the night and wanting to play?
That is a pretty tricky question, because 8-month-old cats are still adolescent and they'll always want to play. Most of them grow out of it eventually, though, so you've probably only got a year or maybe a couple of years of sleepless nights left. I think what I would try to do is try to tire her out before you go to bed. So play with her, you know, for maybe half an hour. And then what you should try to do is get into a routine where you can get her to sleep in a different room. So perhaps the laundry or even the bathroom. She's got a bed in there. Feed her in there before she goes to bed and keep her feet in there all the time. And shut the door and try and get to sleep. During the day, if she's playful, you want to try not to reward attention-seeking behavior. So you should always be the one that initiates play. And if she starts at times when you don't want her to play, so if she's grabbing your feet or grabbing your hands, then just first of all try ignoring her, and then maybe if that doesn't work, close her away for a short period. And again, remember that she should grow out of it.
Now, we also talked a bit about last week about older dogs. So why don't we try and talk about some of the things that older cats might have?
Older cats can have lots of different problems, but I suppose there are two really common things. Kidney failure is really common in older cats, and hyperthyroidism, where they get an overactive thyroid gland. again, is another really common thing. Cats with kidney failure are no longer able to concentrate their urine. So obviously the first thing you notice is that the litter tray is always wet and their water bowl empties much more quickly. They tend to lose weight, they have a poor appetite, and they often vomit and have bad breath due to gum infections. It can be controlled with diet, but it can't be cured. On the other hand, cats with an overactive thyroid gland, they also lose weight, but they eat and eat and eat because basically their metabolic rate is really fast and they just burn up all their food. This goes on to heart problems and sometimes they go blind, but luckily this can be treated. So we can treat it in various ways. We can treat it with drugs, or we can treat it surgically by removing that gland, or a more recent development is we can actually treat the cat with radioactive iodine, which will destroy the thyroid gland. So if you think your cat's got any of these problems, the best thing to do is get down to your local vet. They can take some blood and give you an answer.
Thank you for that, Ellen. Remember, you can email us anytime on lostdogshome@joy.org.au or visit our program page on the Joy website, joy.org.au, to find out other ways to connect with us. So right now we're going to hear from Samantha Mumba with Body to Body, and then we'll take a look at your pet's community calendar in Dog Date. Welcome to Dog Dates, your pet's ultimate guide to their social calendar. My name is Kevin, and I'm here with Oslam, Kate and Alan. What are some of the events we have coming up this week?
Well, there's a final reminder for the pet portraits happening this weekend, Kate.
Yes, that's on this Saturday the 27th, so tomorrow. We've still got a few more spots left, so people can come along on the day if they want. I think the spots are mainly free in the morning, but you can contact the Lost Dogs Home on 9329 2755.
There's also an article about it on our website, so you can check that out, dogshome.com.
That's right. And what about any National Pet Register events coming up soon?
Sunday the 28th of October, this Sunday, the Nillumbik Pet Expo 2012 will be happening. It's a companion animal microchipping day, and it'll happen between 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. For more details on this one and also next weekend's microchipping day, log on to our profile page on our website at dogshome.com.
And that was the Bayside Pet Expo as well?
Yes. So the Bayside Pet Expo will happen on the 4th of November. And, yeah, the details, again, will be up on Monday on our website.
Excellent. So you can also check that out on petregister.com.au. They have a great events page there. And to book, please call National Pet Register on 1300 734 738. Now, this week we did ask the question, what is the most inexpensive toy for your cat? Now, I have a couple of friends who have cats. One is Zach. My friend Jared, he has a little possum, Zach, and he actually loves boxes, straws and coins. So he actually will play fetch with straws as well, like any straw from anywhere, he'll just play fetch and bring it to Jared. I also have my friends who have a cat named Marco, and he loves playing with balls. He actually chases the ball around the house like he's a dog. You see him flying around the house chasing after this ball. Now, I believe we also had a caller in.
Yeah, we had a few people respond to this question via the text line, and Graham from Wheeler's Hill said that he's cat loves, well, his favourite toy is a ball of aluminium foil. It's as simple as, you know, grabbing a piece of aluminium and scrunching it up, and they can have so much fun with that.
And you could keep them amused for hours. Now, we also had Michelle from Queensland who called in to say that her cat actually enjoys playing with a ball of yarn. So very stereotypical there for her cat. Mm-hmm. But thank you very much for calling us in, Michelle. It's great to hear that we're all the way in Queensland.
It really is pleasing to hear someone listening all the way from there. I suppose they're streaming online, so that's quite good.
Now, we also had Tony who SMSed us in. He said he has a Siamese called Mocha, who is also a Joy member, and his favourite toy are bin ties.
Oh, that's interesting.
So there's quite a few different ones. Yeah, Alan?
I used to have a Siamese called Felix, and his favourite toy was socks, which he stole from the neighbour's line. He used to come in at least once a week, he'd find a sock and bring it in.
And what, he'd just be a sock thief?
He was a sock thief.
Did your neighbours pick up on that?
No, thankfully, I don't think they ever did.
Now, we also got a message in from Tom who said he had two Moggies that he got about 22 years ago. They hated each other on sight, and mutual loathing has kept them both alive and well till today. So that shows that cats might not get along, but yet they can tolerate living together. So if you have a community event for Dog Dates, please email lostdogshome@joy.org.au. Give us a brief description of the event, date, location, and your contact details. You can also contact us on our social media if you check out our profile page, joy.org.au. We have our inexpensive cat toy question up there as well. So coming up, we're going to throw back the curtains on our pet of the week.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. This week's Pet of the Week.
So each week in our Pet of the Week segment, we shine the limelight on a pet looking for a new home. This week, who do we have?
This week we have Bernie. As I said earlier, we've got a lot of cats up for adoption this weekend, and one of them is Bernie, and we have a lovely photo of Bernie here. He is very handsome, don't you think?
He is. He has a lovely coat.
Yeah, I think it's actually quite lush, and I can imagine he's
got...
Yeah, well, he has a beautiful, beautiful tail as well. Now, he's 6 years old, so he's quite a mature cat, which means he's quite chilled.
Yeah, he should settle in pretty quickly.
Yeah. And he certainly was pretty chilled when I met him this morning. He was happy just to sit on his pillow in the cat cage. He wasn't sort of too keen to come up and see me. But I think he looks like the sort of cat that if you got him home and he got relaxed, he would be about the man about the house, and he'd be on your lap and taking over the couch and be really, really affectionate.
So how can we find out more about Bernie?
Oh, you can contact the Lost Dogs Home. You can actually view Bernie on our website at dogshome.com, or you can give us a call on 9329 2755.
Mental blank there, Kate.
I should know that number very, very well.
Now, Bernie's animal ID, is 919911.
That's right. So Bernie would make a very lovely cat companion.
And Ellen, do we have any update on Penny from last week?
Unfortunately, Penny, the little dog that we talked about last week, is still with us and still waiting to find a home. Now, she's 10 years old. She's a really sweet little older dog. She won't be too much trouble. And although she's 10, you know, little dogs live to 16, 17, so you should have many happy years with her.
Now, if you missed either of their ID numbers or just want further information on how to adopt either Bernie or Penny, please check out our program page on the Lost Dogs Home website, dogshome.com, or contact our North Melbourne shelter, 9329 2755.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Now, that is all we have time for on Pets Allowed today. We did get a message in from Harriet, who wanted to know about adopting cats or dogs and adopting them together. Now, we're going to cover that next week, I believe.
Yep, we'll have a look at it during the week and we'll get back to her.
Now, join us for next week, where we're going to be talking all things summer holidays, I believe. Oz, what kind of stuff are we expecting to talk about?
Well, I think a lot of people are probably planning their summer break at the moment. So, if you have a cat or a dog, what are your plans? What do you plan to do with it? Will you be taking your cat or dog with you, or will you be leaving it back at home? And what arrangements have you made to do that?
So thank you very much for listening. You will be able to check out our program page, joy.org.au. Our podcast will be up there to check out our podcast. Also, dogshome.com. You email us throughout the week, lostdogshome@joy.org.au. So this has been Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Remember, walk your dogs and pat your cats. We got that one in there.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.